Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, host of the Herb Podcast. Hey, welcome to our show in episode 479, Teetering on the Brink of 480, as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, what? Her fat. Oh, no. See, gotcha. Listen, this is a wild and crazy special show with one of my most favorite people, and I know this is really going to hit you. So before we begin, please know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs Rooted in Nature. They've got a special gift for women. The new award-winning Her Life Stages products providing support from all the way from the menstrual years, including PMS, through perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Lord knows we need the help. This is an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life journey, certainly her hormonal journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, run on over to your local health food store, to Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon. Check it out at Solaray.com. And if you go to the website, use the promo code HER20 for 20% off. You'll be glad you did. And here's your first reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show. Because you know something? We sit around waiting for your feedback. We love it, love it, love it. Okay, it's time for Her.
The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
Oh no, she's going to use the F word. It's fat time. What in the heck is that about? Well, most of you know that I spent a goodly amount of time at the National Institutes of Health studying fat. I was known as the fat doctor. I'm not quite sure I'm proud of that, but there you have it. And I would just trollop right into the operating room and gather fat cells and study them and the relationship between fat and stress hormone. So I've always been a fat fan. I'm a fat scientist, as it were, or adipose, as we like to say in the scientific literature. So when my good friend, Stephen Prine, oh my goodness, a New York Times best-selling author. I've known him forever because we are fellow writers and we've worked together on a number of projects. So when he just told me that, oh, here it comes, the full body fat fix. What? Talk about alliteration. I just said, well, wait a minute. Did this book just come out? And the answer is absolutely. So I got to tell you about it through Steve so that you could hear this from the author himself. Steve is a New York Times bestselling author of this book, The Full Body Fat Fix. And he's the former editorial creative director of Men's Health Magazine. We knew each other because of the publisher, was also our publisher. He is also the publisher, editor, and co-creator of the Eat This, Not That series, and co-creator and head writer of The Better Man Show, a nationally syndicated TV program promoting men's health and wellness. Lord knows you guys need the help, and it's got to come from you, Steve. Hey, Steve, welcome aboard.
Hi, Pam. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What an intro. So why did you, there it is, stuffing it right in our face.
I love the, it's all about alliteration, the full body fat fix. We get the firefighting five inside the full body fat fix. And thanks God, I read a lot of Dr. Seuss to my kids when they were younger.
Oh, well, you know something that did come to mind. So here's the gig. Why did you write it? I always ask my authors the why thing.
Right. The why thing is really the answer. I wanted to know why is it that weight and obesity is not distributed evenly across society? Why is it that certain populations, especially lower income populations, get heavier? Why is it that women at menopause and beyond get heavier? Why is it that people who are heavier are more susceptible to everything from cancer to COVID? And really, in investigating and really digging down into it, it really comes down to one thing. It comes down to inflammation. And if you can address chronic inflammation, you can lose weight, you can reduce your risk of disease, you can live with less pain, move more freely, hold on to muscle as you age, prevent frailty, and just basically live a generally healthier and better life. So we've heard a lot about inflammation, but how do we address it? Well, the real secret is way down deep in our guts. It's in the microbiome. So we want to talk about her fat. We have to talk about her microbiome.
Oh, her microbiome. Okay, define it. Define this. You know, we've talked about this on the podcast a number of other times, but I want to hear it from you and how it ties into this whole issue of inflammation.
So basically, you have 100 trillion best friends who want to help you be healthier, and they live in your large intestine. They're called the gut microbiome. The gut microbiome is made up of all of these different, there's bacteria and viruses and fungi, and they're all hanging out, yeasts. They're all hanging out together in a sort of like giant national park. It's like the Yosemite of you. It's its own environment, right? And as long as that environment is healthy, as long as all the different species are working together, they help to control inflammation. Here's some other things that they do. They manufacture 95% of the serotonin in our bodies. Serotonin is the drug that antidepressants try to keep at a higher level. Well, when your microbiome is healthy, you're getting that dose of serotonin regularly. They generate oxytocin, which is the love hormone, the feel-good hormone. They influence dopamine. So everything from anxiety, depression, insomnia, they're all controlled by the microbiome, by those chemicals that the microbiome, when it's healthy, is sending up into your brain. Also, your risk of, as we said, everything from cancer to arthritis, from diabetes to asthma, that's all controlled by the microbiome as well. Because when your microbiome is balanced and healthy, then inflammation is lower and all of those conditions are inflammatory diseases. The problem is that in the United States, our microbiomes are super duper messed up. And the good news is that you can restore your microbiome to health, start reducing your risk of those diseases, and start losing weight in as little as 7 days.
Okay, in as little as 7 days. All right, let's back up again a little bit more. So tie in inflammation, the microbiome, and fat.
So what we don't realize is that fat is our friend. Fat protects us, right? When it's healthy, fat sends out all sorts of signals to control appetite, to help with insulin processing, et cetera, et cetera. When we begin to get a little overweight, our fat cells can get into distress. And what also can happen is that the microbiome can get a little bit dysregulated. And when those two things happen, inflammation begins to rise. The body sees our fat cells in distress as they start to get bigger, and it sends autoimmune cells down to try to tackle that problem, and that creates inflammation within the fat. When you are significantly obese, as much as 40% of the cells in your fatty tissue aren't even fat cells anymore. They're autoimmune cells. So what we're seeing as we gain weight, as we move through overweight into obesity, we're seeing an inflammatory condition. And that was what really started my quest for this book, was like, you see people who achieve 300, 400, 500 pounds, and you're told, well, it's all about calories in, calories out. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense that you could eat enough calories to quadruple your normal weight. It's just not possible. It also doesn't make sense that people in lower income zip codes are more likely to be overweight or obese. Because when you think about it, where do calories come from? Come from food. What do you need in order to buy food? You need money. It would make sense that people who are eating at fancy restaurants where meals are 1,500, 2,000 calories a pop would be much heavier than people who eat at fast food, which typically a meal at a fast food restaurant is less than 1,000 calories. So lower income people are actually probably eating fewer calories, but they're getting heavier and heavier. It doesn't make sense that the women at menopause would start to gain weight. We know that it's not about metabolism because studies show that metabolism doesn't actually drop at midlife. It stays the same until we're into our early 60s, at which point it starts to lower very, very slowly. So it's not metabolism. It's not calories. It's something else. And that something else is inflammation. And inflammation is controlled by the microbiome. In fact, a study came out in 2022 that showed that postmenopausal women have more dysregulated microbiomes than the rest of the population. And that may be something that happens within the gut during menopause. It's not totally clear yet. This is still emerging science. But what we do know is that when you have a healthy microbiome, you are far less likely to be overweight. In fact, studies of twins have shown that the twin with the healthiest microbiome also weighs the least.
All right. So let's just say you're the classic woman out there who is really striving to do the best she can. But if you look at the average woman today, and I just renewed this information again, kind of hit the refresh on my research, and it says 5'3", 170 pounds, and a waist size of almost 39 inches. They don't say how much of that, what percentage of that is visceral fat, which is by far most highly associated with cardiometabolic disease. So the issue then is, how do you take a woman who is now in an obesogenic environment where ultra-processed food is found every 20 feet once you, you know, leave your home? How does she begin to confront this, knowing now that the microbiome is so important, and turn this around? So take us through some of that.
In the US and the UK, these two societies are unique because we get 60% of our daily calories from ultra-processed foods.
That's just good. Say it again.
In the US and the UK, we get 60% of our daily calories from ultra-processed foods. It's unique in the world.
Oh.
Our obesity rates are also unique in the world. In some place like Italy, it's more like 12% of calories from ultra-processed foods. There's a phenomenon people talk about all the time where they go to Italy or France or Spain or Greece or Portugal and they eat like crazy, all that rich food, all that fancy food, so much, and they come back and they weigh less than when they left. And it's because of the type of food that we eat in the US and what it does to our microbiomes. So let's say you and I, Pam, are going to eat the same amount of food today. I'm going to eat 2,000 calories and you're going to eat 2,000 calories. The difference is that I'm going to eat a typical American diet. 60% of those calories are going to come from ultra-processed foods. By ultra-processed foods, we mean anything that has like more than, say, four ingredients, that's shelf-stable, that you buy in a box or a bag or a can, right? So you're going to eat whole foods. That means meats, vegetables, fruits, stuff that your grandmother would have recognized as food.
And I cooked it.
And you cooked it yourself, you ate it raw, what have you. So your 2,000 calories are going to go through your digestive system, through the stomach, through the small intestine, into the large intestine, where the microbiome is going to go, yay, mealtime. And those 5,700 different species of microbes are all going to feast and succeed in their missions, right? I'm going to eat 60% of my calories are going to be ultra-processed foods because I'm going to eat a standard American diet. Well, ultra-processed foods can also be described as pre-digested foods. They've had all the fiber and much of the nutrition stripped out, replaced with things that aren't food, emulsifiers and enzymes and preservatives and what have you. Well, that food, because it's been pre-digested, it's absorbed in my stomach or in my small intestine. It never gets down into my microbiome, into the large intestine. That means two things. Number one, the microbiome doesn't get to eat. So it becomes dysregulated. It's like if you took out a big food source from Yosemite, some of the species would start to die off. Some of the species in your microbiome are going to start to die off. That's one thing. So now the microbiome is underfed. It can't protect you from inflammation, which is, again, the cause of obesity. Second thing is happening. Because I'm absorbing those ultra-processed foods in my stomach and my small intestine, I'm getting all of the calories. My microbiome isn't getting any. So if you and I eat 2,000 calories each, I'm absorbing 400 more calories than you are on that day, which means that, because my microbiome isn't getting in there and helping out, which means that every day if you're eating an ultra-processed heavy diet, you could be getting 400 more calories into your system than the person eating the same number of calories in whole foods, real foods. That's two ways that ultra-processed foods make us fat: by dysregulating the microbiome and by overfeeding us and not feeding the microbiome.
Wow. So at the end of the day, first, our wonderful Her podcast audience has to be aware of the microbiome, what it does. I love to call them, you know, a trillion friends with benefits.
100 trillion friends with benefits, absolutely.
Exactly. And then to respect and honor and make certain to nurture that microbiome appropriately. So in the diet you told me I was eating, there's plenty to chomp on there. Here's some cauliflower. And it's just, you gotta feed them appropriately, and then they will reward you with the ability to extract all of these valuable, precious nutrients that we need to be able to have to exist optimally for the best health and wellness. But you have leaky gut and inflammation and other issues that occur when you do the ultra-processed route. Tell us about the leaky gut thing.
Right. So as your microbiome becomes dysfunctional, it begins to wear at the lining of the gut. So let's say you brush your teeth and you see a little blood in your gums or when you spit out into the sink. That's inflammation in your gums. What's happening is that gaps are opening up, maybe because you didn't floss or you didn't brush enough, and bacteria are able to get into your gums and cause more inflammation. The same thing happens in your gut. If you don't feed your gut right, you get these gaps in your gut lining and you get inflammation. When that happens, bacteria or even bits of inflammatory compounds can pass through the lining of the gut and into the bloodstream, which is how inflammation in the gut becomes inflammation throughout your body. So that's why people with dysfunctional microbiomes are more likely to gain weight because their fatty tissues are now inflamed. They're more likely to develop Alzheimer's, those cross the blood-brain barrier. They're more likely to develop diabetes, cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, asthma, arthritis.
And here's another one. Where does all that serotonin come from in our body? The gut. If you have a leaky gut, and if you are interrupting that wonderful highway, the superhighway between the gut and the brain, it's that gut-brain connection, then don't be surprised if you have mood dysregulation as well, including depression. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. It's tied to depression, anxiety. There's some connection to alcoholism, although it's a little bit dicey right now. We haven't quite figured it out. Insomnia, a lot of different emotional disorders. But again, it's an inflammatory reaction, right? The good news is that your microbiome is constantly changing. It's not a set thing. You can reset your microbiome and you can do it in as little as 7 days. Again, I want to go back to the phenomenon. People go overseas for 10 days. They eat like crazy. They come back. They weigh less. Why? Because they have reset their microbiome on that trip. Their microbiome got healthier because they started to eat more and different food.
Well, you talked about this in your book. This is what your book is about. So walk us through some of these steps, because I'm sure the Her podcast audience is saying, what do I do? I'm afraid now. You're looking down at your little tummy, or maybe not so little, and you're saying, what's up? How do I turn this around?
So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to stop dieting. You're going to stop restricting calories. You're going to stop only eating between the hours of 4 and 5 on full moons when the high tide is in. Like, stop doing all that, because calories are not the driver of obesity. They're not. What is the driver of obesity is inflammation. So stop worrying about calories. Start worrying about controlling inflammation. That's number one. So that's the good news. No more dieting. The other good news is the way that you restore health to your microbiome is by eating a wider variety of foods, right? So the reason that we see a greater degree of inflammation and obesity in lower income communities is that they have less access to a variety of foods. You eat at McDonald's, you're not getting very many whole foods or plants. If you eat at a fancy French restaurant, you're getting all sorts of plants. You're getting a lot more calories, but it doesn't matter because, again, it's not calories. It's the variety of whole foods in your diet. So studies show that people with the healthiest microbiomes are those who eat at least 30 different plants in a week. That sounds like a lot. It is not. What is a plant? By a plant, I mean any kind of vegetable, any kind of fruit, any kind of nut, any kind of seed, any kind of bean or legume. Essentially, if it grows out of the ground, off a bush, off a vine, out of a tree, and you eat it, that counts as one step forward toward a healthier microbiome.
So do shakes count when you put a lot of that good stuff in a shake?
Yes. If you create, I just had a smoothie for breakfast this morning, and I had peaches, strawberries, some pine nuts, I had some kale, I had some almond butter. So right there, there's 5 plants that I had this morning in my smoothie.
Dee, as I'm doing my addition in my own head for the stuff I love to have, and I put flaxseed and chia, and I put in some pumpkin seeds, I put in blueberries. I'm a blueberry girl. I got a little bit of that almond butter, you know, rocking and rolling, obviously my protein powder, and just kind of keep doing that.
And keep mixing it up. That's what really counts.
Oh, and some ginger. I always like my ginger always. I'm thinking to myself, 30, wow. I think a lot of people right off the bat go, wow, that's a lot. You know, I can barely get that, you know, strive for 5 a day. But when you really get down to it, you're right. If we pay attention, we have a lot more diversity in our diet on a daily basis than we really think we do.
There are 50,000 edible plants on Earth, but 2/3 of the plants that Americans eat are only 3 species, corn, wheat, and rice. Of the vegetables we eat, 50% are either tomatoes or potatoes. So think about it. There's so much out there. And this is really very easy. I show you how in 7 days you could reset your microbiome, not by going to the health food store, but you can do it by eating at Panda Express and Buffalo Wild Wings and Wendy's if you want, right? I've got the perfect Waffle Hut order if you want to go to Waffle Hut. You can get 7 different plants in one Waffle Hut order. It's great. But it's as simple as you're getting pizza. All right, don't hide under the table when the pizza comes. Instead, can you get some onions and broccoli and mushrooms on that? You're going to get a can of peanuts. How about a can of mixed nuts instead? You want a salad? Instead of getting baby bib lettuce or romaine, what about mixed greens? You could quadruple the number of plants you're having right there. Make sure there's a different berry on your breakfast every morning. One of the things that we've been told as a society, and as somebody who worked in publishing of diet books for many years, I'm as guilty as anyone, is the idea of superfoods. Ooh, we need more superfoods. Here they come, acai. Okay, no, there's only one superfood. And that superfood is whatever plant you didn't eat today, because that's what you need to focus on for tomorrow. when we try to go, okay, I need my spirulina smoothie, or, you know, more likely your cardiologist says, have more oatmeal for breakfast. So every day you get up and you have your oatmeal and you put blueberries because that's a superfood, and you put some almonds in there because that's a superfood, and you have that. Well, that's a great breakfast for today, but it is not a great breakfast for tomorrow. Tomorrow you need maybe like a whole grain wheat cereal with raspberries and, you know, pecans. That's a superfood for tomorrow. So that's what we're doing. We're focusing on eating the same foods over and over again. We're not looking for diversity in our diets, and that's damaging the microbiome. I show you how you can easily get to 30 plants in one single day by eating a smoothie, a beef sandwich, a steak sandwich, a little bit of pasta, a slice of pizza for an appetizer, and a nice dessert. You can get 30 plants into that in one day. So again, the way that to reverse this issue, it's resetting.
You're hacking that pizza. You're just slapping that baby with all kinds
of putting all sorts of stuff on there.
Absolutely. No question about it. That's why I love those, you know, veggie pizzas, as it were. But I always add, you know, some other form of lean protein in addition, just more and more and more. And when people say mixed vegetables, I raise my hand because I can go ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I can knock off a good 5-6 vegetables right off the bat. So what you're really saying is it's practical. It's something you can do. Now, how can someone tell if this is working for them?
Well, number one, you're going to start to feel a lot more energized, right? So one of the things that we have you do is to have protein in the morning. And that's so important for, especially as we get into our midlife and beyond, because protein in the morning is essential to protecting muscle and making sure every day is going to be either a muscle loss day or a muscle gain day, right? And it depends on what you have for breakfast. That's going to determine whether you're going to have a muscle gain day or a muscle loss day. So we get you on that muscle gain train where you're not getting weaker, you're not getting frail, you're not losing the benefits of muscle. And that is going to help you burn fat throughout the day. So more muscle, fat hates muscle, muscle hates fat, and inflammation is fat's friend. So as soon as you've attacked inflammation, you've hobbled fat and you've given muscle the leg up.
Well, as it were.
As it were. But you're going to see a lot of like physical changes very quickly. You begin to become more regular. You begin to not have those 2 o'clock slumps. I used to tell people, don't even talk to me between the hours of 2 and 4 because I'm a zombie. And since adopting this way of eating, that's completely changed. Like I don't have those afternoon slumps. That's remarkable. Nobody told me about this. It's just what's happened. So you will see these changes and you will see them pretty rapidly. And that's what's great. You know, there was a study wasn't a study as much as an experiment in the UK where a physician and his son decided that the son would just eat nothing but McDonald's for a week. They did their own supersize me kind of experiment for a week. And they measured his microbiome before and after. And at the end of the experiment, he had lost 1,500 distinct species from his microbiome. That's in 7 days. So you can damage your microbiome really badly in 7 days, but you can also heal it in 7 days. They respond very, very rapidly. Again, if you can go on vacation, eat like crazy, and lose weight, then you can stay home, eat like crazy, and lose weight.
Do you also espouse the use of probiotics as you're basically getting this back?
So probiotics are problematic. And the reason that there are many reasons why probiotics are problematic. Number one, you don't know what you're getting. They're unregulated. Number two, there's no way to telling if what's on the pack, even if what's on the package is accurate, whether those probiotics are alive or not when you take them. Number three, your stomach is a lake of fire. If you send your little probiotics in their little dinghy, they land in the lake of fire, boom, they're dead. They're done. And number four, by law, we can only offer 3 different species of microbes in a probiotic. Well, again, there's more than 5,700 species in your gut. And what you want is balance. So imagine again, go back to the national park, go to the Yosemite of you. You can't just introduce three animals and say, okay, the park's healthy now. You want a wide variety of all different species, all eating different foods, which is why you're feeding them variety, and all interacting together, and that's what makes it healthy.
Okay, now let's pivot over to women. So as a woman is coursing through that time in her life, her 40s, 50s, 60s, all heck's breaking out. Now, first of all, hormonally, all heck's breaking out. She's weaning off her sex hormones, and she's going through a variety of transitions and transformations as it relates to that. She's also stressed. I mean, like, it's the wildest time of life. You know, you may be hitting high points in your career. You may be hitting low points in your relationships. You may be having all kinds of caregiving stress. There's just stuff going on. And then women oftentimes, all right, it's not oftentimes, it's most of the time, fall off their own radar screen. And so they'll caregive other people. They'll worry about other concerns, and then may not even get to their own needs, meaning that they may just seek solace in eating junk because that's what was sitting around. They're too damn tired to cook, etc. So what I'm doing is I'm painting a picture of reality. This is what happens in a woman's life. Now let's look at how she can attack taking better care of herself, nurturing the microbiome, and dealing with this whole issue of inflammation within the context of this crazy chaos.
So, strategy number one, go to your favorite big box store and get lots of big bags of different kinds of dried fruits, whole fruits, nuts, seeds. If you look at my pantry, I've got a bag of unsalted mixed nuts. I got another bag of some hazelnuts, another one of flaxseed. I got some chia seed. I got some pumpkin seeds, got some sunflower seeds. I got in there some dates and some dried figs. And I go in there and I just reach in and I grab a handful of stuff. And maybe I got some nuts and I got some dried figs. And like, and the figs and the dates are really sweet. And it's just like, and then like 15 minutes later, I go back in there. I'm like, because like I'm stressed out and I'm bored. And I don't know, my parents are driving me crazy and my kids are driving me crazy. So I've set it up so that like my pantry is, I just go in there and grab stuff, or I grow into my refrigerator and I've got like all these different blackberries and blueberries and raspberries. I'm like, I grab those and like, so you can set it up that your go-to noshes are healthier. Don't try to go, oh, I ate an hour ago, so I really can't eat again. And for another hour, I have to like sit here and try to like reduce my calorie intake. That's absolutely not natural. It's not the way that we evolved to eat. When we were walking across the savannah or through the jungle, we didn't come across a tree full of oranges and go, I'll have two and I'll leave the rest. We ate everything, because if we didn't, the orangutans or the other tribe was going to get in there and get them. So we ate them all, right? So eat them all, but just make sure that what you're eating, you just stack your kitchen, your pantry and your refrigerator with as many healthy things as you can, and then just go nuts. That's the way that you deal with the stress, literally, or go fruity, whatever. But I have zero self-control and have decided to make my lack of self-control a tremendous health asset.
Yeah, you know, the stress thing, as you know, I've written about that so often. It was the subject of, well, it's actually in most of my books. And the whole issue is that, especially with women, we just tend to knee-jerk into anesthetizing ourselves with food because it's a self-soother. And I think understanding what you just said, which is terribly important, it's also super important now that I think about it, right? That you've got to clean out your pantry, clean out your kitchen, clean out your house, and make sure the junk's not sitting around, because out of sight, out of mind. And when you do feel like you want to, you know, raid a Dairy Queen or something, you don't have anything there. And then that feeling will pass. and instead you'll grab some Turkish figs and you'll see that there are very satisfying alternatives, you know, for doing what you need to do, because all of us nosh and get crazy under stress. There's no question about that. But you just have to be able to control your environment. You've got to be able to understand limits and boundaries within the place that you live.
Right. And the other aspect of the full body fat fix that I think makes life so much easier is it's about adding on foods. So let's say you gotta have some corn chips. You just got it. Like, you're craving corn chips. You're having the corn chips. Fantastic. Now go and get your little store-bought guacamole or your tapenade or your hummus or some other plant-based dip and go crazy with the corn chips. But add those things in. Dip them and make it an opportunity to add more plants into your day. You gotta have ice cream. One of my rules is never eat ice cream naked. Always dress your ice cream. Any Froyo shop is going to have walnuts and peanuts and blueberries and raspberries and cherries. So go in and get that stuff and put it on there.
Steve, you're going to work on what you just said, because I had a really weird visual for a moment. Never have ice cream. Never have it naked. I'm like, well, I don't know.
Well,
kind of makes a mess, but... You know, in wild times in my life,
I have had ice cream naked. Well, yeah, I'm telling you, from now on, you're going to dress your ice cream. You can be naked, but the ice cream can't be naked.
There you go.
And by the way, ice cream, there's a surprising amount of research that does show that people who eat ice cream twice a week live longer than those that don't. And it's unclear why, but if you're going to have a sugary snack, ice cream is the best, because it's got calcium, it's got protein, and it's much better. You can dress it up, and it's much better for you than cake or cookies or the kinds of things that are just pure, you know, sugar and processed ingredients.
Okay, you're going to have to wait a moment. I have to run and tell my husband this, because he is an ice cream fanatic and he's always holding back. So now you've just given him license to be able to be healthier with two ice creams.
Twice a week ice cream dose, your dose of ice cream.
I love it. That's an ice cream dose. Now, of all the things you've just said in this fantastic interview, that's the one that sticks. Go figure, you know, that naked, you know, the naked thing. I kind of like that one too. So, you know, as we wrap this up, we have so many wonderful women listening in and really trying to grasp what this whole thing is with microbiome, inflammation, fat, and everything. And I know that they're going to definitely want to read the book. Let's leave them with one last golden nugget from the book.
Listen, the absolute most important thing is to stop restricting your food intake. Stop trying to diet and reduce calories. You know, cut calories as a way of losing weight. Start thinking about feeding your microbiome. What does my microbiome need to eat? And I'm going to eat that, because by eating this thing that feeds my microbiome, I will lose weight.
I love it. That's fantastic. You know, when you you talk about feeding them, when the microbiome thing first hit a number of years ago, as you and I both know, because you're absolutely in the know, being a journalist in this field, I used to look down at my tummy and I say, all right, guys, what do you want to eat today? And it became a joke among all my friends. We'd all do that. We'd sit down for, you know, a really nice lunch somewhere and hang out. And we'd all look down at our tummies going, all right, what's it going to be today? And in a way, it's kind of cool. It's our little friends with benefits, a whole lot of them, actually. It gives you a layer of awareness that you never had before. And, you know, it's interesting. One last thing. As a physician, and you know this because you've written about it and you're really on top of all of this. In medical education, when I came through the ranks, we knew nothing about the gut. we just said, I don't know, stuff entered the gut and it came out the other end. And we knew about cancer and we knew about a lot of the, as it were, diseases of the gut, ulcerative colitis and all the rest of it. But we had no clue as to how powerful it was with the mind, as it were, or the brain-gut connection, with inflammation, with immunity, right down the list. We didn't know. My jaw hit the floor when the microbiome science started first surfacing. That's why one of the things I do just to always remind myself is I look down at my tummy and I say, what do you guys want to eat? And then that reminds me again of all the things you wrote about in your book. And that was to have diversity, to have clean, wonderful, whole foods, you know, outside of treats every now and then, of course, we're human, to really try to keep it wholesome and nutritious. Because don't we do that during pregnancy? Women in pregnancy are thinking, oh, I'm eating for two. And you got it, you know, you have this consciousness of this being inside of you. And you're saying, oh, I'm not going to eat that trash because I've got this precious being in me that needs whole food. Well, honey, you've got 100 trillion of those suckers, you know, down in your gut. And it's the same thing, but it's now on a daily basis. What do you think about that?
Right. You're not eating for two. You're eating for 100 trillion in two.
There you go. And that's exactly right.
And again, I think that the emphasis on what not to eat is a little bit misguided. My feeling is focus on getting the most diverse plants into your diet and don't worry about the nachos. Okay. Don't worry about the pizza. Don't worry about that. Focus on the diversity. Eventually, you'll find you're kind of crowding out those other foods because you're focusing on this. You can, in just seven days, you completely reset your microbiome without giving up your favorite foods, without, you know, skipping your favorite restaurant. You can do it just by tracking the foods that you're eating. I give you a 7-day tracking log. When I focused on getting the most different plants into my diet, I got 65 different plants in 1 week. Can you beat me?
Okay. Now you're on. You see, we like to be able to...
Because I'm the world record holder. I hold the world record. No one's stepped up yet.
All right.
But I'm certain I can be beaten.
I absolutely love that. All right. We're up to the challenge. Ladies, let's outdo them. Come on, man. You know we could do this.
All you need is this.
There you go.
And a local supermarket.
The Full Body Fat Fix is the book. Where can we find this, Stephen?
Wherever fine books are sold. It's easy to just get it online super quick.
Okay, fantastic. And everyone, we've been talking to one of my dearest friends, and that's Stephen Perrine. And he is a New York Times bestselling author. And his new book, the latest book, which is out there now, is The Full Body Fat Fix. And what I really want to make sure you know is that Steve has dedicated his career to really looking at this whole issue of optimal health and parsing out all of these things that we do with our nutrition as well as fitness to optimize health and wellness in a big way. So, Steve, I can't thank you enough. And again, the book is The Full Body Fat Fix. And the author is Stephen Perrine. That's P-E-R-R-I-N-E. All I can say is on behalf of our wonderful audience, thank you so much, Steve.
Pam, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Let's go eat.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to outbeat you. I'm going to make it to 100. I'm going to be so regular that week. Oh my gosh. Hey, thanks so much, Steve, for a wonderful show. Everyone, hop on over to iTunes right now and rate and review this terrific episode. We love your feedback. Here's another shout out to Solaray.com. Solaray, vitamins, herbs, minerals, rooted in nature. Learn more about the Her Life Stages products from Solaray. Run on over to Solaray.com and check out your local health food store, Whole Foods, Sprouts, Vitamin Shop. It goes on, including Amazon. Woohoo! Oh, this has been another amazing Her podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our Her podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about my work and social media. Join me every single week for another Her podcast where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders like Steve Prime as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. Thanks so much. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Carpe diem, man. Have a great one.